Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
What's gonna happen tonight? What's gonna happen?
We're gonna whoop their
Have you gotten Romo yet?
What's up, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. And as you can tell by the truncated version of this intro, we got another breaking news edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Let's go on over to that home daycare center and get to Ryan Callahan, who can tell us immediately why we are having a really, really, really big edition, breaking news edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast.
Yeah, I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. And to celebrate the holiday weekend, I guess you could say, Tennessee has made a huge addition to its 2023 recruiting class. Four-star defensive lineman Davin Hobbs of Concord, North Carolina, just outside Charlotte, has committed to Tennessee, picking the Vols over Georgia and Alabama, among others. It really came down to those three SEC schools in the end. There have been a few different phases to his recruitment. There was last year and early this year, he was sort of a lower-key prospect, hadn't really blown up yet. Tennessee had him on campus for a handful of visits before he was offered by Tennessee finally in June after attending one of the Vols camps. He also got an offer from Alabama in June after going to a camp there. Got an offer from Georgia, I believe, in July. So he started to blow up later in the spring and into the summer. And on August 1st, was originally planning to announce his college decision then. And at that time, everyone thought he was headed to North Carolina. And that seemed to be the case. He kind of grew up liking North Carolina and basketball, and there were reasons to the Tar Heels had been the team to beat up to that point. But the longer this thing went, the more those SEC schools got in his ear. I think he was really intrigued by the chance to play in the SEC, and this essentially just turned into an SEC battle over the last couple months. And Tennessee has always been a school that intrigued him, as his visits last year and even early this year would suggest. And I think at first was a little bit miffed that Tennessee was later than some other schools to offer, considering how heavily involved they were before they had offered. But got over that. Tennessee continued to make a strong push for him, led by defensive analyst LaVorne Harbin and defensive line coach Rodney Garner, and those guys just made him a huge priority. This is he's probably been the top target left on Tennessee's board over the past few months, regardless of position, and so they made him a huge priority. Got him on campus for the Florida game on his official visit, came back for the Alabama game, got to see that atmosphere. And I think since that visit for the Alabama game, especially, Tennessee had kind of been at least the slight favorite. At first, it looked like Tennessee and Alabama were the two main contenders. And then Georgia got him on his fifth and final official visit, also for the Georgia game against Tennessee on November 5th. And Georgia made a push. I think they at least made things interesting down the stretch, but Tennessee wins out in the end, addressing obviously a huge need position wise and just giving them kind of the elite defensive lineman they've really been wanting to add the last couple of years, really, and haven't always had a lot of luck. They got Tyree West and some other good players in the 2022 class, but not anyone quite at this level. So this is a huge pickup for Tennessee for a number of reasons. And it's just always a big deal, of course, when you beat out schools like Georgia and Alabama for a prospect they really wanted.
And I'll do you one better, Ryan, if I could unmute myself here. I think that it's another big deal entirely when you go in and you beat like Georgia and Alabama for an out-of-state player.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for that. To that point, this is when Tennessee has beaten Georgia and Alabama for players in recent years. It's been a little more hit and miss the last 6 or 7 years. But they've had some wins like that. But usually it's been someone like a Trey Smith. Georgia was involved in that one, but Alabama was, or Drew Richmond. Someone that was either from Tennessee or had a connection to Tennessee. Nigel Warrior was another guy who was involved with schools like that to a degree. There have been some guys like that, but they always, or most of the time, they seem to have some sort of natural tie to Tennessee. In this case, not really, not in that sense. His family did spend some time in the Smoky Mountains around Thanksgiving a couple different years in the past and liked going to the mountains. There was that.
So they're leafers. They're leafers.
maybe. Although, can you be from North Carolina and have to leave the state for? They got some pretty nice scenery over there.
Yeah, they do, but they're in Charlotte, so they have to drive a little bit to see the mountains, I guess.
so yeah, there's that. But you know, otherwise there really wasn't a natural tie to Tennessee or anything like that. I think Tennessee was just a program that always appealed to him a little bit, and he visited there because it was close by, and they were showing interest in him early on, and just kind of hung around as one of the schools he could see himself playing at. Also kind of a side note, his sister, Ella Hobbs, is a class of 2024 basketball prospect who has offers from a number of major programs. I believe Tennessee is one of them. He was sort of not sure about that the couple times I've asked him about it, but either way, Tennessee is at least a school that's been involved with his sister in her recruitment. So if you are a women's basketball fan, we'll see in a year or maybe less if she ends up joining him at Tennessee. But that's always been sort of a is it or is it not a factor in Davin Hobbs' decision where his sister wants to go. I had heard months ago that his sister liked Alabama quite a bit, for what it's worth. And that was maybe at least one of the reasons people thought Alabama was in really good shape at one point earlier this season. So not sure that ended up playing a factor in his decision at all, but it's at least something to keep an eye on if you're a women's basketball fan moving forward. But yeah, this is a big, big pickup just to beat out those types of programs for a guy that Tennessee really didn't have any sort of family connection or geographical connection to, aside from just being 4 hours away from him. And they just did a good job of recruiting him throughout the process, even though they were a little bit later than some other teams to offer, not by much. You know, they were like a week after Alabama offered because he went to an Alabama camp before he camped at Tennessee. And as a prospect, sort of interesting too, because one of the reasons Tennessee didn't offer early is he wasn't as big a year ago as he is now. He was a 240, 250 pound guy a year ago and just hadn't quite blown up, hadn't filled out his body yet, and just got better, I think, over the past year. That's why he started to take off this spring and into the summer, and Tennessee liked him at camp. I think he weighed in at 262 at camp this summer, and he recently told me he's 277, so that's why you see that on his profile. He was around 280, I think, during his official visit to Tennessee back in September. So he is a good-sized kid who has continued to fill out over the past year to year and a half, and that's one of the reasons his stock has really skyrocketed in a lot of people's minds over the past 6 months. So this is a guy who's filling out nicely and has a lot of athleticism for a roughly 280 pound defensive lineman, and gives Tennessee just a lot of options for the future. And obviously a ton of upside, whether he's a defensive tackle, strong side, defensive end, whatever he ends up being, this is a potentially disruptive player for the next few years.
I was about to say, don't you take away my follow-up questions, Ryan. You're taking away my follow-up questions. My follow-up question was positionally sort of what his future is, because you can tell, I mean, the film kind of pops off at you, right? Like it should with the big time player. You just kind of flip on the film, and I'm sure it's this exact way in person when you see him too, and you're like, oh, that one looks good. Yeah, that one looks good. Let's recruit that one. He just kind of has that kind of game to him. But when you look at it, his positional future, does that depend on sort of what happens when he gets into a strength and conditioning program, whether he gets to be 300 plus pounds or whether he stays at 280 or 290 or whatever he ends up being? Do we know yet positionally sort of what his future might be, or you know, care to take a guess on what it might be?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance he ends up being sort of a hybrid guy that plays strong side defensive end a lot of times. He could be a Latrell Bumpus type that maybe plays outside a little bit, but also
like Matthew Butler at times in his career.
Yeah,
maybe.
Exactly. Another North Carolina guy, Matthew Butler. You know, Tyler Barron's done some of that this year. Where at least on early downs he could be a strong side defensive end, but certainly has the size and if he puts on even a little bit of weight, not a stretch at all to envision him lining up inside a defensive tackle in some cases. But yeah, this is not a either way. This is a guy who, like Georgia, for instance, I think saw him as like a five technique. You know, they're talking more of a three man front type of system in some cases, but they I think saw him as a bigger defensive end. And I think that's probably what Tennessee, he said that's what Tennessee's been talking to this point, is they've mentioned defensive end, but he knows that he's got the type of body that could give him some positional versatility, especially in a four-man front like that. And either way, even if he does grow and say he ends up being a 300-pounder, I think he's athletic enough, though, where he's going to be a disruptive 300 pound. You know, I think this is a three technique more likely. This is not, he's not going to end up being, I don't think, a space filler, a guy that's there to.
So let me stop you there. A Georgia or Alabama type defensive lineman, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. I mean, that this is what you're looking for. I mean, this is what the type of player Tennessee's had such a hard time getting in a lot of years over the past decade. Just, you know, they've had to go to the junior college ranks at times to get guys they thought could be like this. Tyree West, frankly, was a step in the right direction, you know, just getting even though it's a guy that Georgia, you know, kind of chose not to sign. At the end.
I've liked him a lot watching him this season, by the way.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, similar build a little bit to Tyree West, just taller. I think a little bit taller than Tyree West, probably around 6'4". And a former basketball guy, you know, has had the athleticism, obviously, that showed up in that sport too.
Boy, so, there's another follow-up question off the board.
So, I mean, not going to play both sports in college or anything, but yeah, has that background as a lot of guys from North Carolina do. So, he is just what you're looking for, because you can find those bigger body guys to sort of tie up blockers, but it's hard to find these guys who have that size combined with the athleticism to really get in there, disrupt things, get after the quarterback and make things happen. And that's what Rodney Garner is looking for. You know, I've said this since he got to Tennessee. I think people were asking at one point last year, especially, you know, where are the big guys? Where are the 315, 320 pounders? You know, Rodney Garner is willing to go after guys who are that big, but I think it's going to have to be guys who can really move for their size. He wants guys who can get after the quarterback, who can make things happen. And that kind of fits with what this defense at Tennessee has wanted to do under Josh Heupel and Tim Banks. They want to be aggressive. They want to just make plays. They're not really, I mean, they've kind of turned into at times a little bit of the bend but don't break philosophy, but that's not really what they want to do. They want sacks to disrupt drives. They want interceptions. They want pass breakup. They want to be aggressive, and guys like David Hobbs give you a chance to do that. And so we've talked for a year and a half now about the edge rushers they've been adding, the talent there. You can see it this year with freshman Joshua Josephs and James Pierce. Pierce a couple sacks this year, even in sort of spot duty in a few games. So you can see the potential there. Caleb Herring and Shondavian Bradley committed in this class. So you've got the edge rusher talent there, but you need to pair them with some guys like this who can play inside or play strong side D end. That's what this gives you, a guy that can really fit in at two or three different spots on the defensive line and could really be a huge part of what Tennessee's building defensively over the next few years. I mean, this, again, it probably goes without saying because you're beating out Georgia and Alabama for him, but this is a big, big pickup. I would put it right up there in a lot of ways with, you know, at least close to the significance of getting a Nico Iamaleava at quarterback. That's what David Hobbs could mean to Tennessee defensively if he lives up to his potential.
Yeah, and I look at, before we go to break, I look at, again, one of the many awesome things about the 24/7 sports experience is the database and the profile pages on these kids, and it kind of tracks them all the way. It's why we call it preps to pros, right? And this one, when it talks about his athletic background there toward the bottom of the page, 2021, he played extensive snaps both ways, also played some tight end and H-back on offense. So, you know, that's a pretty athletic guy. And then what I would say even more importantly, the leading scorer on the state championship basketball team, averaged 14.7 points per game. Again, not a college basketball player or a college basketball prospect, but a guy who's athletic enough on the basketball floor to be the leading scorer on the state championship basketball team. That is the kind of cross-training, explosive, twitchy athleticism that you get that on the defensive line. I mean, to get that kind of athlete to potentially play some snaps on the interior defensive line, Ryan, I mean, that's elite athleticism there.
Absolutely. This, and what's the big difference? We always hear people talk about what makes the SEC different from other conferences, and it's the defensive line. It's guys like this, frankly. You know, we've seen LSU and Alabama win national championships, and now Georgia win national championships with guys like this. They're a huge part of it. You know, Tennessee, one of the reasons they couldn't beat Georgia earlier this month is Jalen Carter and guys like that just wrecking things. You know, when you can get a guy like this that just – it is hard to block unless you're double teaming him. It changes the way offenses have to play against you. And so you can't overstate the significance of getting a guy like that when you can find just an absolute stud on the defensive line. So yeah, that's not to say, again, not putting those kinds of expectations on him, not saying David Hobbs is Jalen Carter or anything like that, but if you can get a guy that can be that type of player just in general on the defensive line, it, it changes the way you look on defense. And Rodney Garner has done a good job, I think a really good job of working with what he has on the defensive line. He's had some talent there. Let's not completely undersell what Tennessee's had personnel wise, but he's not been working with a bunch of former five stars and top 100 prospects. He's working with some good solid players, some veterans who've developed well under him, and he's gotten the most out of them, it seemed like, the past couple of years. Some good players, but not a lot of great ones. And now, you know, you saw at Auburn what he can do with when he's got great talent. You know, he had that group with Derrick Brown and all those guys just a few years ago. And he had a lot of those defensive lines over the years at Georgia and Auburn. And so you knew he was going to get these types of players in the long run. He was going to get some guys who were going to be just tough to block on the defensive line. And so now they've played well. They've exceeded expectations in a lot of ways on the defensive line the last couple of years. They're starting to get after the quarterback better this year with Byron Young and Tyler Barron and some of those guys. Now you start to get in some of these elite type prospects and you can really start to see this defensive line come together. So this is you don't want to put too many expectations on a guy on one guy like this, but it is hard to overstate the significance of what this could mean. But yeah, a lot of athleticism, as you said, with that basketball background and not just being a basketball player, but a pretty good one. You know, there are a lot of guys who are Tennessee signees and who go to other SEC schools that play basketball in high school, but not many are very good at it. He's pretty good at it. So not good enough to play at the high school or at the college level, obviously in the SEC or anything, but good enough that, hey, that definitely verifies the athleticism and shows you what you're getting. And, you know, when these guys go to the combine, these defensive linemen, they can usually jump pretty well. They have a great first step. They have the quickness to get between blockers and just get a hand in there on passes and all those things that you want defensive linemen to do. They have athleticism that other guys just don't and can't develop. And so that's what you're getting with Davin Hobbs, is some of that above average to elite athleticism in almost every category. And if he continues to progress, boy, he's got a chance to be a really good one.
Yes, he does. And there's a lot more to discuss about this. This is a big, big, big day for Tennessee, a tremendous start to the holiday season for Tennessee on the recruiting trail with, you know, obviously early signing period coming up and just a lot of reasons to be excited about this kid, about Tennessee's defensive line class in general. Hint, hint, we're going to discuss that here in a minute. But lots more to discuss about this. We are overdue for a break, though, so let's step away for just a second, pay some bills, listen to products, services, in-house ads, etc., and then we'll be right back here on the GoVols 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Welcome back to the GoVols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by whatever products, services, and in-house ads you just heard a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. Ryan Callahan coming to you from his home daycare center there on the other side of town. And we are discussing a big, big day for Tennessee football, for Tennessee football recruiting. The Vols have gotten a huge, huge, huge commitment from Davin Hobbs, a 6'4", 277-pound defensive lineman from J.M. Robinson High School there in Concord, North Carolina, just outside of Charlotte, right there where the NASCAR track is. For those of you who are into that sort of stuff, this is a big prospect, number 38 overall nationally in the 24/7 Sports rankings. This is a big time prospect, a big time addition for Tennessee, for this class, for this program that has a lot of good things going for it at the moment, certainly both on the field and on the recruiting trail. Got lots more to discuss, but before we do that, just a quick suggestion or quick request, I should say, from our end. If you could take about a minute out of your day right now and go in there and subscribe to this podcast and rate and review this podcast, we really would appreciate it. If you're just listening on the website there at GoBalls247.com, that's fine. That's great. There's no wrong way to consume the GoBalls 24/7 podcast. But what helps us out the most is if you go in there, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, Amazon, anywhere in the world you can cast a fine pod, you can find this GoVols 24/7 podcast. We do this for free, and we are happy to do it. It's a labor of love. Very few complaints from our end. Since we're doing it for free, however, I don't think it's too much to ask to go in there, rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends, and tell your friends, and tell your friends' friends, tell people you see out around town, tell people that you see at church, tell people that you see at the dog park, tell people you see walking your dog, just tell random people that you see around town, right? Just go tell people that you see, like, hey, you're wearing a Tennessee shirt. I think you would like the GoVols 24/7 podcast. We've already had at least three people do this, and so this works. You laugh and you say, hey, why are you saying this every podcast? You know why? Because we're starting a movement. That's why we're doing it. That's why we're doing it, Ryan. That's why we're doing it.
Absolutely. And while we're at it, I just wanted to throw in, it's Black Friday, of course. Maybe you're listening to this podcast while you're out doing some shopping. While you're at it, buy GoVols 24/7 for the Tennessee fan in your life. We have a 75% off annual subscription sale running through Cyber Monday. So for the next few days, take advantage of that offer. But this is our biggest sale of the year. Can't think of a better present for the Tennessee fan in your life who's not already on GoVols 24/7. So go check that out at GoVols247.com.
Yeah. And if that's what, you know, if you're paying us just, again, what is a very reasonable rate for an incredible product and not just our product, but other products, and you'll hear more about that at the end of the podcast. But even if you're just an absolute cheapskate and you're just listening to this for free, at least do us the favor of going on and telling some friends and rating and reviewing and subscribing. Come on, like, look, just throw us a bone. It's the holidays, man. Do that stuff. And if you're already doing all that stuff, thank you. We love you. If not,
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Ryan, back to business. Davin Hobbs is obviously a big-time addition for Tennessee on the defensive line, one of the biggest prospects in the country, the number 38 overall prospect in our rankings there at 24/7 Sports. And as you know, we are the best in the business. So a big-time player for Tennessee. However, not the only big-time player on this Tennessee defensive line. This Tennessee defensive line also has two commitments from top 100 edge rushers. It's also got a couple more defensive linemen who are rated a little bit lower but are higher upside guys that Tennessee staff likes a lot. I have to think that we'll see, right? The early signing period has not quite yet arrived yet. And then there's also, you know, there might be some leftovers there for the old school signing period. So we don't know exactly what will be in each class. And even then, we at that position, we often need 2 or 3 years to know exactly how things turned out at that specific group. But I got to think, Ryan, when you're looking at some of the best defensive line classes in the country, I think you have to have Tennessee near the top of that list, don't you?
Yeah, and we'll see if final rankings obviously aren't out. So that's gonna have a lot to say and where Tennessee ends up. But yeah, I think Tennessee's going to be on the short list of teams that have the strongest defensive line class when you take edge rushers into consideration. We do list that as a separate position.
Sure.
But you're obviously talking about guys who project as really defensive ends, guys who are going to have their
like a traditional. Think of a traditional front four, because that's in this day and age, most people are playing most snaps in that 4-2-5 nickel, and so basically it is an old school defensive line in some way still.
Yeah, and you know, we started doing it differently because this gives you a better idea of where guys are really going to play in college. It got too confusing when people would talk about outside linebackers, because some edge rushers would play outside linebacker and were being recruited by teams that played outside linebackers as edge rushers. And then you had other teams that a 3 or 4 man fronts. And so your weak side defensive end and outside linebacker got a lot of people confused. So this gives you a better division between those groups. But yeah, those edge rushers at Tennessee are still defensive linemen, in the vast majority of cases, if not every case. So those are guys who are going to play with their hand on the ground in the long run. And yeah, when you take Caleb Herring and Shondavian Bradley into account, those are guys who I would say have not been as productive in high school as their rankings might suggest. Shondavian Bradley just had a couple sacks this year, and Caleb Herring's been playing in a defense where, he's not just pinning his ears back and rushing the passer every single time. He drops back in coverage sometimes. He's done a lot of different things. So those are guys who have elite upside, and that's why they're ranked where they are. But if those guys stay where they're ranked or roughly in that ballpark, yeah, three top 100 guys at that position. And Hobbs is one who I think is going to be at least in the 5-star discussion based on where he's ranked right now. Our final rankings, the top 32 finish as 5-stars. Mm-hmm. When we expand our rankings in January after the All-Star games, and that's to mimic the first round of the NFL draft. Ideally, if we were batting 1,000, which no one ever does, but if you were batting 1,000 and your top 32 guys would be first round draft picks. So you're saying this guy's going to be a first rounder if we have him as a 5-star. We think he has first round potential. Hobbs, ranked where he is now, he's probably going to be in that discussion, I think, when our analysts sit down and hash all that out after the All-Star games and figure out where guys are ranked. And even if he finishes just in the top 50, that is an elite player. So yeah, to have three guys ranked that highly is pretty impressive. And yeah, Tennessee's still looking to add. They're wanting at least another defensive lineman in this class if they can get him, but not done there yet, and already off to a very good start. One more thing I wanted to mention on Hobbs, I had to go back and check my notes on this. It's mentioned on his 24/7 Sports profile and in the bio section that he has over an 80-inch wingspan. We talk about the elite measurables.
That explains some of the basketball success too,
for sure. But we talk about some of the elite measurables that sometimes, regardless of production, you can't ignore stuff like that. When guys have that kind of length, that kind of athleticism, when you have a verified vertical or 40 time. And by the way, at Tennessee's camp, he ran a 4.75 40 back in June. Now he was 262 pounds at the time, but still pretty impressive speed there to run a 4.75 as a defensive lineman that could play on the interior potentially in the next couple of years if he gets much bigger. So that shows you what you're working with there. His arms measured in at just over 34 inches. So that combining that with the wingspan, that shows you what kind of length he has. That's often what separates the lower 4-stars and the 3-stars from the high end guys. It's those elite measurables that you just can't. You can't quantify how important that is sometimes, because that little bit of extra reach, that and just the athleticism together is a tough combination to beat historically. All the big time edge rushers and interior guys, they all have that in common for the most part. There are very few exceptions to that, that they don't either have just jump out of the gym athleticism or ridiculous speed off the edge or a quick first step, and all that's usually backed up by some measurable. With Hobbs, it's the athleticism and it's the length, and that's a pretty good combination.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And Ryan, we hinted at this a little bit in the first segment, but there's a couple more things we want to discuss that I got to discuss, and another one is this, because I think we hinted about it a little bit in the first segment, but we could probably do a little bit more on it, is the significance of Tennessee getting a kid who Georgia and Alabama wanted, who was a kid not from the state of Tennessee, who is a kid who did not have any direct ties to Tennessee. I think there's this saying, right, that good knows good, right? Real knows real. And these prospects know who the other good prospects are. They know where the other good prospects are going from all the camps and all the other, they connect through social media. It's a more connected world, and those guys kind of live in their own little bubble, right? Their own little universe. They have their high school teammates and everything, but they also have this separate group of dudes who are just really, really good prospects, and they know each other. And I think this Hobbs thing, I'm not talking like a seismic wave, but to me it's another pretty big step for Tennessee as a program in the eyes of kids, not just in this class, but in the next couple classes, to show them, hey, more big time dudes are going to Knoxville now.
Yes, absolutely. I'm 100% with you on that. I think this one, yeah, like you said, maybe not a seismic wave, but this shows you how things can change based on, I would say maybe this is the first recruiting win that you could probably, you know, directly tie a little bit to Tennessee's rise on the field this year.
Sure.
I think people wondered a little bit, you know, why earlier in the season, especially, why aren't we seeing Tennessee getting hot in recruiting as they win all these games? You know, and we've kind of pointed to the 2024 class, and they've made some nice additions to that class even early on this season. Mazio Bennett, the 4-star receiver, Caleb Beasley, the 4-star defensive back out of Nashville. Those were guys Tennessee might have gotten either way, though, even if they'd gone 8-4, 9-3 and just had a nice season as opposed to a breakthrough national championship contender type season. They might have gotten those guys in the end. Maybe not as early, but they would have gotten them. And we know MJ Bennett committed after the Florida game. He had no idea at the time that Tennessee was going to be a playoff contender. This is the first one that you can, I think, at least directly tie it a little bit to what Tennessee's done on the field, because I can't help but think at the end of the day, in a head-to-head race with Alabama and Georgia, that in the end, if Tennessee had been a 3-loss, 4-loss team this year, that thought might have crept into his mind at some point that, hey, I've got a chance to compete for national championships at these two places, but not at Tennessee. Or I'm projecting that Tennessee's going to be there next year or in a couple of years, but they're not there yet. Maybe he still would have gone to Tennessee anyway, but I think this is one where you can at least possibly attribute it partly to what Tennessee has been doing on the field, and because he didn't have to discount Tennessee as a national title contender or potential national title contender in the future. In the past, some kids have had to do that. They've had to just assume the growth is going to be there. Tennessee's going to get better when I'm there. And kids take that leap. They do. They assume that it's going to get better when they get there. But that takes a certain type of kid to be willing to jump into that type of situation. Now they don't have to do that. And so I said all along, I think this season is going to play out more with the 2024 class. It's going to help there. And it's going to help with guys Tennessee's already involved with. And David Hobbs was one of those. And so I think seeing that Alabama game in person, I don't think you can overstate the significance of that. He got to see Tennessee play head-to-head with Alabama and Georgia. Even though Georgia handily won that game in Athens, he still saw that Tennessee wasn't outclassed completely by Georgia. That's not something we could say even last year. Georgia ran away with that game. This game, Tennessee, you know, at least put up a good fight and ended up losing by 2 touchdowns. But they didn't look completely outclassed in that game. And I think that type of thing matters when you're battling for this type of player. They want to know, in a lot of cases, that they're going to a school that can do anything they want. And now I don't think he had that question about Tennessee. And they're able to win a battle like this, as you said, for a guy that didn't have direct ties to Tennessee and isn't from this state.
Yeah, and I think the last thing I've got, Ryan, is that we always ask, and we're always going to ask, about numbers overall and numbers at a certain position. And we're I guess we need to do the customary thing and do that. But defensive line is one of those positions where I don't really ask that question ever, because you're almost never going to turn down a really good defensive lineman if you see one out there. That's one of those positions where it feels like you never have enough. You want to have as many good ones as you possibly can, because games can be won and lost there. Absolutely. Championships can be won and lost there. So I think what's that old Paterno saying about, like, you know, God likes whatever team has the better defensive lineman, or whatever that quote was. It still rings true to this day that good defensive linemen can change your entire program. So I don't think that if there was another big time defensive lineman they had a chance to get, I don't think they would say no. But in terms of how much more, if any, do they have a need there right now, to the extent that there's ever not a need there? And what about the overall numbers for the class?
Yeah, we kind of touched on this with the Khalifa Keith commitment podcast, but, you know, I think Tennessee's looking at probably at least a few more additions to this class. This gives them 23 commitments for the 2023 class. I think they still end up with more than 25, probably less than 30. You know, that's always going to depend on who they can get. If they're good enough players, they're gonna keep taking them this year. Again, there's no 25 limit anymore. At least the next 2 years, that's the case. So you just have to worry about staying under 85. You know, for all we know, some discussions happen in December with players that they thought might return, and who decide to enter the transfer portal instead. You just never know about stuff like that, and that could always impact Tennessee's plans. And they decide, yeah, let's go ahead and take another guy in this class and not just save it for the transfer portal. So that could always change things. But I think they end up somewhere between 25 and 30, and most likely between those two numbers. On the defensive line, I think Tennessee would like one more, at least. I kind of mentioned that in passing a few minutes ago, but I think they're definitely still involved with some guys that that they would like to add on the defensive line. The main one appears to be a junior college guy, Elijah Davis. He's at East Mississippi Community College, a school you've probably heard many times over the years, originally from South Carolina. So South Carolina has been one of the main contenders there, along with – and Alabama's been involved to a pretty good degree. Now, he's a quiet kid, so we haven't really talked to him much in recent months, haven't seen many interviews with him in recent months to really get a feel for that one and sort of where things stand. I know South Carolina's had some optimism recently with that being the home state school. Tennessee's had some optimism, but he looks like one of Tennessee's best bets for adding some additional help to the defensive line. They've been involved with a bunch of other guys throughout the fall. Some of them have kind of come and gone as possibilities. Keldrick Falk, I would probably throw into that category.
Great Florida State
commitment out of Alabama. Yeah, he's one that Tennessee got on campus for a game or two this fall. I guess just one game. He was going to come back for a second game on an official visit. That didn't happen. Florida State kind of shut it down. And so that one seems like, unless something's revived down the stretch, that it's likely not going to work out for Tennessee. So there's some guys like that they've still been kicking the tires on that you don't be surprised. There could always be some possibilities out there that would take official visits to Tennessee, even if they're committed to other schools, because you're always going to take a swing at talented defensive linemen. As you said, that's just one of those positions that's hard to get them. Tennessee has needed numbers there for a few years now, and they've kind of had to patch things up in the portal with guys like Dejon Terry, and just had to kind of get by a little bit in recent years. But they've got a pretty good class so far, as we said, with those edge rushers included. Especially they've got Nathan Robinson out of Greenbrier that is expected to start off on the defensive line. Trevor Duncan also in the same boat out of Knoxville Catholic. So you've got a pretty. And also Tyree Weathersby, an often overlooked, I think, part of this class, but now rated a four-star, became a four-star this fall in 24/7 sports ratings with a strong start to his senior year. He was very productive on an 0-10 team in Georgia, put up good numbers consistently throughout the year, even as his team struggled. So I think that's kind of further validated Tennessee's early evaluation on him, and another nice piece of this class. So you've got several guys there, potentially defensive linemen in the long run, but I think they're still looking for additional help. A junior college guy like Elijah Davis would make a lot of sense. You do lose some guys off this team this year, and not so many that you just have to go heavy on that position, but it's one where Tennessee is not loaded up numbers wise in a few years. So I think they're still going to be looking at that spot the next few weeks as they look to finish off this 2023 class. And ideally, I think they would add at least one more.
I think that's a lot of good information and probably a good place to leave it. This is a great start for Tennessee for the holiday season. And also for the holiday season, it's a great time to go join GoVols 24/7 there with that 75% off discount, which is our best of the year. I think we are at a good place right now, Ryan, unless you got anything else.
No, that's a good place to leave it. And hey, early signing day, less than a month away now. This is just kind of the beginning of the stretch run. So buckle up. Tennessee doesn't get to play in an SEC championship game next weekend, but it does have a lot of work still to do to finish up its 2023 class, and can follow it all, of course, with us and on GoVols247.com.
That you can. Big news for recruiting and big news for the team in general. There's a lot of big news on the site right now, so go check that out. See you.
Thanks, Wes.
There's that button. And now I can say, thank you for listening to this edition of the GoVols 24/7 podcast. We always say that, but we always mean it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ben McKee is Ben McKee 14 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. And Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. And if you just want Tennessee news on Twitter, nothing else, you can get that at twitter.com/GoVols247. You can also go to facebook.com/GoVols247, where we update that throughout the day, all day, every day, mostly with Tennessee news, but also with news that we think Vols fans will find interesting. But if you want that best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water directly from the source, go get that at GoVols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets for coverage of Tennessee football recruiting, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball. Nobody, and I mean nobody, covers Tennessee baseball the way that we do. Also, no one covers the Lady Vols that we do. The award-winning Maria Cornelius does an excellent job covering all things Lady Vols for us all season long. You can get all of that at govals247.com. You've also got access there to two forums that run round the clock. Got the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with us, with thousands of Tennessee fans across the world, and with us who are on the staff. And no one has a more active board with the staff members than us. We are proud to be there all the time answering any question that you've got, and you get all of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is all that it costs, and that's after a quick free trial. And once you pay us that reasonable rate, which is, again, less than one mediocre lunch per month, you get access in perpetuity to Paramount Plus, which is an excellent, growing behemoth of a streaming arm there with us here at CBS, Paramount, Viacom, etc. You get every show CBS has ever made commercial-free. You get new movies. You get classic movies that rotate in every single month. You also get just tons of original content, tons of great original Paramount Plus content. And you also get access to the vaults of Nickelodeon, Smithsonian, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, something for the entire family. All of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is so much stuff. So much stuff. That's a bunch of stuff. Less than one lunch a month. That's all that it costs. So go to govals247.com and do that. Take advantage of that. Tell your friends to go do that. Again, thank you for listening. You can always go subscribe to us on every content item, everywhere you can get a podcast. You can get this podcast. So please go do that. Thank you for listening again. And be kind to each other, guys. Just try to be kind to each other. There's just not nearly enough people in this world being kind to each other and having basic human empathy and dignity. Let's be better to each other. Let's be good. See you guys.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.